Do you want your middle school girl to grow into a strong, confident, and resilient young adult? So do I. The only thing is, middle school's hard for both kids and parents. Welcome to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. I'm Janice Scholl, and I'm just a regular parent on a mission to uncover the best tips and advice for raising middle school girls. Hey there, parents. Janice Scholl here. And before we get into today's episode, I have something to share with you. I know how invested you are in your kids' success. You wouldn't be listening to a podcast named Raising Middle School Girls if you weren't. But how can we help prepare our kids for the future in such a rapidly changing world? This is something I think about all the time. The Critical Thinking Institute's new program, Brighter Minds, Better Futures, teaches our kids how their brains work and how to seize control of their brains to improve their grades, decision-making, emotion control, and learning strategies. After I interviewed Steve Perlman, founder of the Critical Thinking Institute, on the podcast, I knew this. My kids needed this program. And now I'm honored to be an affiliate for this program. In just minutes a week, through short videos your kids will actually enjoy, you can help set them up for lifelong success. Go to thectinstitute.com and check out Brighter Minds, Better Futures, or you can click on the link in the show notes. And when you go to thectinstitute.com, make sure you input coupon code Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, for a 15% discount. As a CTI affiliate, I do earn a small commission for qualifying purchases at no extra cost to you. This helps the Raising Middle School Girls podcast continue to deliver great content to parents. Again, that website is thectinstitute.com, coupon code Janice. Now let's get into today's show. Hey there, parents. Thank you for joining me today. Today, I am talking with Amanda Chatsy Constantino, and she is an award-winning Master Certified Life and Wellness Coach and nationally board certified health and wellness coach. She talks with teens and young adults who are struggling with stresses of transitioning to adulthood. Amanda is passionate about equipping her clients with essential life skills, effective goal-setting tools, and stress management strategies so that they can become confident, self-motivated, independent, and resilient adults. Welcome, Amanda. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Janice.
So, you know, we've all met life coaches before, and many of us have talked with life coaches before, but not everyone is working with the teen and young adult population. And so I'd love to just know, what made you choose to work with this age group?
What really inspired it was my own struggles as a teenager. And I figured everything out on my own, which I'm so grateful for. But I wish that I had somebody like me to give me the tools, to support me, to lead me, to guide me in the right directions on, you know, what, where to go, where to start. So that really, for me, was, I think, the beginning of my journey to become a coach to support young people.
Yeah. And why, I mean, you're talking about how it would have been nice to have someone as you were going through this age, but why do young people really need a coach? And really what I'm asking is, isn't that what parents are there for?
Yeah, so absolutely, parents are there for this. But at the same time, what I find so interesting as a coach is that a lot of parents feel like, you know, maybe the things that they say somewhat fall on deaf ears. And when we have a coach reinforcing, or a coach who's saying the same things as a parent, then it is that reinforcement. I've lost count. It's actually quite funny that at the end of my coaching programs with young people, when I'm checking in with the parents and I'm asking them, you know, how was this, you know, how was the process? How was the journey for you? And so many of them tell me, you know, I've been telling my son, daughter, what you've been telling them for months, some of them say for years, and they just didn't listen. And suddenly you come in the picture, you say something, and they're like, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe what my coach told me. So sometimes it's just you know, to have that third party, right? We all need that type of support as well, right? So it's also, not only is it giving young people this confirmation that, okay, my mom and my dad, yeah, maybe they do know something. Maybe they are onto something. But it's also too a space where they can explore, where they can have a place where they feel safe to talk about whatever is coming up for them. And yes, again, this can most definitely be with parents, but when they can have a support system and not just relying on parents, which don't get me wrong, like I'm a parent myself, and I mean, you want your kids to be able to rely on you, but at the same time, giving them other places and spaces so that they know that they have a support network, so that they know they have a community of people that are there to support them. So kind of a long-winded answer, but in short, I think those are really the main, well, I could probably go on, but just the first few things that I've really noticed throughout the years of working with young people that really are the benefit of having a coach as opposed to just having, you know, the parents there to support.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can totally imagine this because I feel like in the middle school years, this is an age, and I have a great relationship with my daughter, but I'm noticing that like I'm using the same language. I'm talking to her in what I think is the same way as I have in the past, but her reaction to me is a little different. It's like when I ask her if she gets her homework done, it's a very different like feeling that she's getting versus when she was in fifth grade, for instance. It's more like, mom, you know, I'm on top of this stuff. Whereas in the past, she'd just answer. So I think some of it is like, you know, talking about feeling safe in the space. When it's us parents, even when we don't mean it to, our kids kind of feel like it's a little bit of judgment when we're trying to help them through scenarios.
Yeah. And I also think too, at this age, it's completely developmentally normal that they're, you know, getting to this, they're teenagers. They're finding their independence. And that is completely normal. And some of that comes with feeling like they want to be a little bit more detached, or like when you're explaining about with your daughter, right? It's like, I've got this, I can do this. And so they want to know that they can do it themselves. And so when we can have, you know, other people in the background that are supporting them as well, when maybe we're not around as parents, then it's, again, it's that like full circle support. It's not just, you know, they only have their parents. They have so many other places and spaces. And I think this is also, as they grow older, a great way to help them to understand that we all need to ask for help sometimes. We all need that support systems, right? So yeah, I think this is so, so important, and obviously why I do what I do.
Yeah. And I like a parent might actually know exactly what needs to be done, but mm-hmm. you can help on the execution. So just because a parent is like, I know that this is what my child needs, there's still room for support. Can you tell me, I'd really like to know, what are some of the most common challenges you support your young clients with?
Oh gosh. Well, it really depends on the client, of course, but many of them are struggling with finding their authenticity, like really being able to express who they are. And at this point, navigating with that in mind, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Like what career choices, where am I going to go? Also there's time management in their organization, really discovering how they're going to make things work in their life, right? Instead of kind of going with the flow is a good thing, but I think like helping them find those structures that really support them, like, you know, life skills, goal setting tools, stress management strategies, like those types of things, like the kids that are struggling to find those tools and really helping them to guide them into the right places and spaces, or providing them with tools like that.
And how do those tools, like building that framework in the tools, how does that help them in the future?
Well, I always say that the tools are really the foundation for their, the foundation that becomes a springboard for their future. So because like any tool, right? And I think we can all relate to this in some way or another, whatever the tool is. And I mean, it could be a hammer, but it could also be like an oven. Those are also tools, right? So when we use it for the first time, it's kind of tricky. Like, how do we use this? What do we do with this? How do I hold it? What do I do? And so it's because they're getting these tools at a young age, they're able to practice them and they're able to incorporate them in their lives or see, oh, wow, this was a really great situation to use this tool. And so being able to, you know, practice using them over time, they can get better and better with using the tools. So by the time that they're young adults, or especially by the time that they're adults at this age, right? They're, and I don't want to say that they're perfect at using them, because I don't think we ever get perfect, right? But we are much more proficient.
Absolutely. And I think having the skills and knowing when the right time is to use them can also help with self-confidence. And middle school and early teen years is really when self-confidence plummets for many of our girls. What do you see in regards to self-confidence with the girls and young women you're working with?
Oh, it breaks my heart, because I feel like this is when we really should be coming into our own. This is when we really should be feeling our most confident, right? If that's the word that we choose to, we should feel like who we are, and we should feel safe to express that in the world. And sometimes that does come up in ways where we feel uncertain of who we are. And definitely it's so rewarding to me to see a young person that is so confused about who they are or what it is that they want to do with their life. And then of course, keeping in mind that every young person is different. For some people, they can, you know, figure this out quite quickly. And then for some, it takes a little bit longer. But to see them come to this place where they're empowered, they're confident, even just in their decision making, I think that that's so huge at that age, to make a decision or to show up in a space, right? Especially in school, where we have different friend groups, we have maybe a class presentation. Like, these are things, especially now more than ever, I've seen so many young people that the social anxiety, I used to, you know, occasionally meet the teen that would say, oh, I have social anxiety. Now I feel like it's almost, if not every other that has this social anxiety. And I think that, you know, confidence and social anxiety are very closely linked.
Wow. And that really, I think, just validates a lot of what we're hearing because of the pandemic and so much more. But our young people haven't had the same social experiences that many of us had the opportunity to have prior to the pandemic. And so it's interesting that you're seeing that with many or most of your clients.
Yeah, it surprises me. I anticipated it, right? Like post-pandemic, you would anticipate, right? But that certainly is a major one for a lot of them, because it was a completely different world. And like you said, again, it was something that no one else could really explain. How do we navigate this? Nobody knows.
Yeah. And I like how you're talking about confidence in decision-making, because I think, like, to be honest, most people feel that, and it is, kids are changing in middle school, but middle school is kind of an awkward age, right? Especially for girls. And so they are changing. Their friend groups are shifting. They're moving around. There is a lot of uncertainty and change at that age, coupled with a lot of academic stress as things get a little bit more pressured in school. And so You know, I think we'd be hard pressed for anybody to have great, perfect self-confidence through this age, but confidence in your decision-making is something that you can do regardless of whether you're experiencing new things all the time, regardless of whether or not your friend group is shifting. You can still feel good and confident in how you're approaching something, even though you might not be confident in what you're experiencing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's also important to add to that as well is the decision, right? We make the decision. And for example, let's say we make the decision, then realize after, maybe that wasn't the best choice. Or, oh, you know, the making mistakes. Oh my goodness, this is a huge one. Like, I can never make a mistake. And this is sort of that step right before making the decision. It's like, well, I don't want to make a decision because I don't want to do it wrong, or I don't want to make a mistake. And so we stay stuck in the indecision. So even just the confidence to make the decision and make a mistake, be okay with making mistakes and understanding that that's just part of the process. We don't need to come back and beat ourselves up because we made a mistake. Like, it happens. We're human. It's part of the experience. And if we can talk them through that and help them to understand that it's a natural process, even in decision making, and that even helps to build their confidence in knowing, like, oh, look, I made the decision and I made a mistake. Yay. I did something. I moved forward. And now helping them through coaching in discovering, okay, well, what can we learn from this mistake then? So maybe next time we approach it differently, or next time we have this wisdom in a different situation, right? And we can apply it there. So yeah, so many things when it comes to decision making. And at that age, it's huge.
Yeah. So making the decision is the progress you're looking for and that you're supporting them through, not making the right decision. And I say that like in air quotes, because the reality is not even us adults get it right all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, from the girls and the boys that you work with in this age group, do you see any difference in self-confidence?
I don't know if I would say it's between boys and girls necessarily. I really think it's every single one of them is so different. And I think maybe going back a little bit to what you were saying about, you know, parents, that to me is, I find that fascinating, how that influence has more of an impact than whether they're, you know, boys or girls. That to me blows my mind every time. So I would say that actually would have more impact. So the parents' influence has more of an impact on the confidence than whether it's, you know, it's a boy or a girl.
Interesting. And what is it about the parents' interaction with their child that has an influence? Like, what is it? Tell us about this, because this is super interesting and we all want to know that we're on the right side of it.
Right, don't we? I think really it kind of summarizes everything that we've talked about in, you know, it's knowing that we can, as parents, ask for help. We can ourselves get support. I always say this, it's so important to be that role model for our kids. And so many of my clients actually are coaches, like the parents of my clients are coaches, or they have a coach, right? So it's having some other support systems and being involved. And I mean, you know, creating those support systems for ourselves as parents, that makes a huge impact. And then going back to the role modeling, it's also in this, like what we just talked about, when as parents we make mistakes, how do we handle it?
Yeah.
What kind of models are we giving to our kids? And sometimes it's, you know, when we're saying, oh, you know, they're not listening. Trust me, they are. Even when you think they're not, they are. I have so many kids come to me and be like, you would not believe my mom told me whatever, you know? And they do listen. But I think the biggest influence, and I see this even as a coach, because oftentimes I don't get kids who are coming to coaching because, you know, one of their goals is, well, I want to have a better relationship with my parents. It's not really, you know, on the scope for a young person. That's not really their goal of coaching. But it happens so often that because they have this relationship with what they think is an adult, to me, I'm just like, I'm a little kid in a big body. Like, but to them, I'm an adult, right? And so we're able to have this, again, safe space where they're able to communicate and they can, we're modeling, right? In the coaching space, it's modeling this positive communication. And so now they see, oh, well, adults maybe aren't this big, scary, like they're just humans too. So I think the more human as parents we can make ourselves and using all of the things that we've talked about for our kids and applying them to ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world.
Like we're talking about social anxiety and helping kids work through scenarios to get more comfortable. And what you're saying is the interaction, the positive interaction that they have with you and working through things, the unintended benefit, if you will, is that it kind of just rolls into that parent and child relationship and helps them bond.
Absolutely. I have so many parents come to me again at the end of my journeys of working with these young people, and they'll say, like, what did you do? What did you say? Our relationship is transformed. And like I said, that is, I cannot, like, maybe, you know, a very select few of my clients that this is, you know, part of something that they want to be working on. But for the vast majority, this is not something that's on their radar. And I think too, even taking that one, like zooming that out even more, and it's not just the relationships they have with parents, it's also with their teachers, or if they're in extracurriculars with their coaches, like just some parents, I love when they do this. So they contact the coach to get feedback on, you know, that they let them know that they've been working with a coach and they just want to know what have they noticed in their child? Have they noticed any shifts? And oftentimes the parents will share these responses with me. And it just amazes me how incredible, like this, again, we're not talking about creating better relationships in the coaching sessions, right? With their coaches, like sports coaches or with their teachers, but it's just the natural way of what happens when they are given this space or this model of positive communication. And again, the confidence building, because they feel confident enough to approach an adult with maybe a challenge or something that they're having. So there's so many benefits. I mean, we could be here all day.
I can see that, you know, that's not usually going to be the first thing that a teen is going to think of, is that I want to improve my relationship with my parents. It's almost like when our kids are looking at their relationship with their parents, it just is. There's not really a consideration of could it be better or worse. I mean, I think a lot, many kids know whether or not they have a good relationship with their parents, but it just kind of is accepted as this is my parent relationship, not there are actions I could actually take to improve it. And the irony is that I think most parents want to improve their relationship with their teen.
Yes. Absolutely.
What does having healthy confidence and self-esteem, what does it look like in a teen and a young adult? Like, how does that translate? I understand that it can improve communication, but like, how do we recognize and kind of assess our teen's self-confidence, if you will?
When we talked about decision-making, so keeping that in mind in the whole process, right? Like, how do they go about making decisions? I think oftentimes too, it shows up in, we touched also on this social anxiety piece, right? So how are they in social environments? And again, keeping in mind that we have some kids who are certainly more introverted and maybe prefer to have some time alone. So if they're locking themselves in their room, it's okay sometimes, but you know, that the way that they are social with other kids, I think it shows up as like, do they know who they are? Like, are they self-aware? Do they know things about, do they know this about themselves? Do they know that, you know what, maybe I'm a little bit more on the introvert side and I need a little bit more time to myself. That's just the type of person that I am. Or do they have hobbies and interests and things that they enjoy doing? Do they even know what those things are? I'm always amazed that young kids, like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm like, well, what do you like to do for fun? I don't know. Nothing. What? There has to be something, right? Like, and if you don't have it yet, then let's start there. So having those interests, really being, and when I say self-aware, I mean like, you know, they may not know themselves inside out, but know some things about themselves. Like, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? Things like that.
That makes sense. And I think that's something that we can all gauge a little bit with our kid. And I think, I have to admit that as you were talking about the hobbies, I was like, I'm in my 40s. I'm still trying to figure out what I like to do. And also, so these questions are also, and you're talking about how important it is for parents to model. So these are also helpful for me to look at myself and make sure that I'm showing my kids how to get there if they're not there already.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. Honestly, as parents, if there's one thing that we could do is to just keep in mind, how are we showing up for our kids? How are we being, right? Like, how are we being in the world? And what kind of model, if we're using that, you know, like, what kind of role model are we for them? I would say as parents, one of the, at least what I see through my clients, is one of the most important aspects for them to thrive.
If people want to find more about your work and your programs, where can they find you online?
You can check out my website. It's hellotrueself.com. And then I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, all of those fun social media spaces with my name, so Amanda Chatzy-Constantino, and you can, you know, copy and paste my piece here. And you'll find me there and reach out. I would love to connect. And even if it's just, you know, I'm always happy to answer questions. Please reach out. I'm here to help.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Amanda. This has been a great conversation.
Absolutely amazing. Thanks so much for having me, Janice.
Thank you for listening to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more conversations with experts designed to help you support your middle school girl, please hit subscribe. You can also sign up for the newsletter at the link in the show notes to receive emails about tips and resources, upcoming events, and new podcast episodes, all designed to support you and your child.